Let's start with a couple of quiz, Bible quiz for about Christmas. How many angels spoke to the shepherds for the arrival of the Messiah? A, a multitude. B, two. That is Michael and Gabriel. C, one. D, not sure. What's the? Not sure. And C? C. One. According to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. All right, second question. What song did the angels sing after the announcement of the baby Jesus? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Joy to the world. C, glory to God in the highest. And none of the above. C. Do I hear A? D. B. D. It's a trick question. Actually, none of them sang. It is a typical concept for us that we all heard angels sang. No, angels, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 13, angels praise and sang, not singing. So there you go, trick question. Even the Gospel of Matthew and Luke talks about this birth of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of John goes way beyond that about Jesus Christ. So much goes way beyond. It goes to the beginning of the creation. Actually, John's Gospel begins with a prologue that will give us some clue about the identity of the babe in the manger. Let's stop and pray. Holy Father, it is our privilege, our honor to know you as our Father. All this done through little babe in the manger. But it was not human babe, even though it was had a 100% human, but it was God incarnate, God in human form, Emmanuel, God with us. This infinite God became an infant and came to this world so that he may die on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, that we may have this eternal life. Profound truth, profound plan that kept in the secret. The prophets of the Old Testament longing to know. And angels held their breath to see the truth. Now we have in the front. Anyone who chooses to come to know Jesus Christ, we can have. And we are so privileged to hear the truth. Father, we are asking you to extend that invitation, and which you did. And you softened the hearts of people, especially President Obama, that he may turn his heart to you and come to know Jesus Christ. And we pray for the safety of our troops, wherever they are, especially the one in the harm's way, away from family, away from their home, away from their friends. Father, you're willing, you bring them back safe and sound. And we pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters, and you keep them safe as well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1, please. In the beginning, just like Genesis opens up, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He, note that, is the word should be pronounced, it should be in general, in English, should be it. But here it is it, he, was in the beginning with God. Many people think that Jesus got his identity started with when he was born on the earth. Not so. He has always existed according to these two verses. The Greek word for the word is logos, and which refers to the Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity. You find that Jesus talks about himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, which is our memory verse. Go to Revelation, please. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, in the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, all the Almighty. Of course, the Alpha is a Greek word, it's the beginning word, and the Omega is the last word in Greek word. In other words, I am before the start, before the after the end. And back to John 1:1, please. In the last portion of verse 1, it says, the Word was God. The Word was God. This makes it very clear about the deity of Jesus Christ. The people who knock on your door on Saturday morning or any other time, any weekdays, they come to you and they say, well, we are Christian too. Don't fall for it. And ask them this question, is your Jesus God? And they start to backpedal, no, he's a God's son. No, ask them, is Jesus Christ in your Bible, in your Mormon Bible or Jehovah's Witness Bible, is he God? And they'll say, no. Folks, in our Bible, Jesus Christ is God. Okay? If any religion take down the deity of Jesus Christ, is cult. And so the baby who was born from the Mary is infinite God. Go down to verse 3, please. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Which cross-referencing verse does this remind you of? What came to my mind while I was studying this is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, that is Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before, get this, guys, before all things, and in him all things consist. In other words, God created the entire universe from the beginning, not something oozed out of a goo. You know, that's the evolution theory people. You know, if they are truly, truly logical people and honest with themselves, they have to chuck this fantasy story about evolution right out the window. Because it really does not stack up as scientifically and logically. They said, well, it evolves. That's part true. Microevolution, I agree. Macroevolution, no. And you're wondering, what is a microevolution? Microevolution is like how many different type of dogs? Like a Marmaduke and a Chihuahua. Different kinds of dogs. That's micro, within the same realm. But turning from little one-celled being to a complicated human being, not in a fat chance. That doesn't work. The existence of anything in the universe requires an intelligent creator. I would usually, whenever I come across, I ask this simple question. I take up my watch. So in other words, this is made out of plastic, few pieces of silicon and metal. So if I stick this in the dirt for a billion years, it'll become a human like you, right? And they said, no. There you go. Your evolution theory just went out the window. If there was nothing at the beginning of the creation, beginning, as they claim, they said, well, accident happened. How can you have an accident when there's nothing to start with? Am I making sense to you? Be logical. Don't be religious. Be logical. God gave you that great patty between your 2 ears to think. If you had nothing to start with, there's no accident to go on. Jesus is both creator and the sustainer of all things. Go down to verse 4, please. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. As you know, Genesis 1:1 studies the physical darkness in the beginning. God created heaven and earth. And he goes on to the first thing he created, let there be light. Why did he say, let there be light? Because he needed night light, he needed night vision goggles, bring it down, and so he can see the things with a green color? No. God didn't need the light. He created light for his creatures. Then the spiritual darkness spilled into our world when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3. And this darkness can also be removed by can only be removed by the Lord, who is the life and light. As the light, Jesus shined into the darkness, and those who have not yet received him are still in darkness and cannot understand him. Many people today choose not to comprehend the real meaning of Christmas. It is because the world in general has no room in their heart for Christ. Whether it is a physical or spiritual, darkness and light cannot coexist. Let me say one more time. Darkness and the light cannot coexist. They are mutually exclusive. And you are wondering, I don't agree with you, preacher. Darkness and light can coexist. Really? Go into a dark room, you stand in the middle, and you say, okay, turn the light on. What happened? You see it. Darkness went away, exactly. And you may say, well, what about the flashlight? You still have a darkness. When you turn the flashlight on, you see what you need to see. Because light illuminates. You cannot have a darkness, spiritual darkness, and the light of God in your heart at the same time. Verse 19 of chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's including all of us who are in here. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds... This is the reason, folks. Lest his deeds should be exposed. Unfortunately, the majority of human race would rather live in a spiritual darkness because it hides... Does that spiritual darkness hide their sins? I'm not talking about criminals or crooks or corrupt politicians or child molesters. I'm talking about law-abiding citizens, your nice neighbors, your respected and favorite teacher, your loving parents, your loving family member. All of them, entire human race was born with a sinful nature. And we continue to sin without God. We continue to sin until our death. Whether it's big or small. I kind of chuckle. We say, well, that was not a real bad lie. It was a white lie, a little white lie. Really? So God's going to say, oh, shucks. That ain't nothing. Okay, you can come in. It doesn't work that way. Let's see what kinds of response Jesus gets from the people whom he created. In verse 10 of chapter 1, please. Chapter 1, verse 10. Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not, what? Know him. When Jesus came to this earth as a baby in the manger, King Herod hated him enough to attempt to kill him. And the scribes who should have known, and they ignored him. And there was no room for him in the end. Not much has been changed since that. And all the glitter and tinsel of Christmas, it's easy to blow right past Jesus Christ, and who was also known as Emmanuel, God with us. In America, Satan is doing his best to remove Christ from Christmas. That's why people say, politically correct, happy holidays. Really? Try to say that on the day of Ramadan. Okay? America and the whole world is a love affair with Islam. And if you say happy holiday to Ramadan people, Islam people, either they will lop your head off, or you're going to lose your job, or media is going to attack you immediately. But it's okay for them to say that kind of thing for the Christian holidays. Verse 11, please. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You might want to jot down, his own means Jewish people. While some chose to ignore the Christ of Christmas, some others flat out reject him, just like 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about the Jewish people who ignored, rejected him 2,000 years ago. They should have known better because they knew he was coming. Just about every book in the Bible, Old Testament, prophesied about the coming Messiah. One day God would send his son, Messiah, to deliver his people, Israel. But when finally Jesus arrived, guess what happened? They don't want him. Why? Because he didn't come in a white horse and conquer the Romans and set them free. So, Not from Nazareth, not from Bethlehem. We don't want them. Folks, get this. To not receive means to reject. Now, I want you to read the verse 12 carefully. And if you underline your Bible, and I know some people will never touch Bible. They just read. They don't mark anything. But get this. But as many as received him, underline received, and to them, underline, he gave the right to become the children of God, and to those who, underline, believe in his name. Let's go to those three. Number one, believe. Many people say that they believe in Jesus Christ. They say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's Son of God. Again, go back and ask him, is Jesus God? That will separate a lot of people. But as what? You believe in Jesus Christ as what? Some vague figure in Christianity? Something to do with God? Something to do with Christianity? You know what? The devil believes Jesus Christ. Demons believe Jesus Christ. And they acknowledge him, they tremble. And you may wonder, where did you find that? Go to James chapter 2, please, since you asked. James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Get this, guys. Even demons believe and tremble. Then I have this question. Believing Jesus Christ involves more than just simple intellectual acknowledgement or emotional response. Right? Biblical belief always requires entrusting. That's a special word. More than just believe. Entrusting what God, Christ has done for us in the Bible and obeying what the Bible tells us. Second word that we need to go back and take a look at is received. Receive. This is an active word with a deep meaning, to take or to seize. Those who receive Christ are those who welcome and accept Him into their lives. Jesus is God, a perfect gift to all of us on this Christmas. And we can choose to ignore Him. We can choose to reject Him. Or we can choose to accept Him and take Him what He's fully given to us. It's your choice. God will never push you to choose. Don't ever say that God will not send anyone to hell. You are exactly right. But God does not send you. Yourself send. I send myself to hell if I reject God. Third thing I want you to pay attention is that the right to become children of God. The right is not something we demand to God. Actually, it's not the right translation, in my opinion. It should be more of the honor. Okay? That would be a proper word, in my opinion. But then again, who am I? I'm not a Bible scholar. Let me say this. In America, a lot of criminals say that I know my right, my constitutional right. And they demand this constitutional right right after they destroy the victim's life or victim's right. They want their right. It's not something we can demand, folks, to God. We have nothing to demand God. Do you understand? Do you think you have something you can say, you know, God, I have something to negotiate with you? Really? You don't. I don't. According to the book of Isaiah, our good behavior is like a rag, filthy rag. My grandson makes a good poopy diapers. I don't know how the cute boy, not even 2 years, a cute boy come up with such a stink. Consider that as your good behavior to God. Am I making sense? This verse 12 is a clear theological statement every single human make when it comes to Jesus. Either a person receives Jesus as the Savior and Lord or reject Him. By saying, not now, I haven't decided yet, I will decide later, you are rejecting Him and following Satan's way. You see, the salvation in Jesus Christ is not automatic. It doesn't go from generation to generation. Or you can ride in somebody's spiritual coattail. It's strictly depending on the individual life-changing and eternal destination-changing decision. Salvation is from the Lord to mankind. It's a free gift that cannot be purchased with our good behavior or money. It is paid by the birth and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our part to do is a very simple. Two things. Believe and receive. Then our gracious God will give us the right to become the children of God. I don't know if you heard or maybe read this book, The Whisper Test. How many of you guys heard this book? Good. The Whisper Test, written by the Mary Ann Bird. I'm going to read it to you, a portion of it. I grew up knowing I was different and hated it. I was born with a crafted palate, and when I started school, my classmate made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and gobbled speech. When schoolmates asked what happened to your lips, I'd tell them I had fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seems more acceptable to the sufferer and accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family ever loved me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard by name. She was a short, round, happy, and sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave a test to everyone in the class. Finally, it was my turn. I knew from the past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back, things like, "The sky is blue. Do you have new shoes?" I waited, then it came the words that God has surely put her in her mouth, into her mouth, seven words that changed my life forever. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, "I wish you were my little girl." Jesus is whispering to your spiritual ear right now. Do you hear him? "I wish you were little my girl. I wish you were my little boy. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my children." Ladies and gentlemen, the infinite became the infant so that he could die for your sin on the cross. And he was buried in the grave. 3 days later, he was rose again from the dead and resurrected. And he is the not just creature, rather he is the creator of the universe. And he is the life, he is the light that rebuke the darkness. Don't ignore him or reject him by saying, "I'll do it later," or "not now." That's not how I believe. Whatever you say other than receive, believe and receive, you are rejecting him. And you are going in the way of Satan. The real Christmas quiz is not focused on what you know, rather whom you know. The key is not information, rather transformation. Most of us have enough data, but not decisions that we need to make. I want to conclude this morning by giving you the opportunity to be a receiver, accepting this greatest, the perfect gift you will ever receive on Christmas Day. Stop. Stop moving. You can put away Bible a little later. Dennis will wait for you. This is an important moment. I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you've been putting off that important decision all this time, now is the time for you to make that decision. You can no longer reject him. You can no longer ignore him without you become responsible for your own decision. You can say until now, "Well, I never heard." Now you heard clearly. You cannot say to God, "I never heard it." Jesus Christ died for you. He made a way. Jesus said, "Unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus also said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me." And you may say, "I'm a good person." According to the Bible, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you may say, "I have sinned too much. God cannot save me. God's arms are not too short that He cannot save you. His compassion failed not. His mercy is new every morning. God will forgive you all of your sins. You no longer have to live in the guilt. You are not loved, Jesus will say, I want you to be my little girl or little boy. Listen to Him, receive Him. If you like to do that, if you like to make that decision, all you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Do that now. And as an outward expression of your commitment, raise your hand. Do it now. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. All of you, including those who raise a hand, I want you to repeat after me. Repeat this prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I realize that my sin has separated me from you. But I turn away from my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose again from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Please come into my heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.